From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we bring another in a series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, the founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by the great 19th century English preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled The Overcomer. The text is Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. No man may turn his back in the day of battle or refuse to go to the holy war. We must fight if we would reign, and we must carry on the warfare till we overcome every enemy, or else this promise is not for us, since it is only for him that overcometh. We are to overcome the false prophets who have come into the world, and all the evils which accompany their teaching. We are to overcome our own faintness of heart and tendency to decline from our first love. Read the whole of the Spirit's word to the church at Ephesus. If by grace we win the day, as we shall if we truly follow our conquering leader, then we shall be admitted to the very center of the paradise of God, and shall be permitted to pass by the cherub and his flaming sword, and come to that guarded tree, whereof if a man eat, he shall live forever. We shall thus escape that endless death which is the doom of sin, and gain that everlasting life which is the seal of innocence, the outgrowth of the immortal principles of godlike holiness. Come, my heart, pluck up courage. To flee the conflict will be to lose the joys of the new and better Eden. To fight unto victory is to walk with God in paradise.
Son, it is finished. Glory.
If you have been blessed by the beautiful sacred music which forms a part of Let the Bible Speak, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. These songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may call 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Call or write for your copy today. Continuing his series of studies in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns now commences a message entitled, One Bible, One Gospel. Paul referred to the gospel he preached as the gospel of God. For many years, there have been those who have taught that Paul's gospel was unique to him, that it had little or no relation to the rest of Scripture, particularly to the Old Testament. In the course of this message, Dr. Cairns will demonstrate that the Bible is one book, that the gospel Paul preached is contained in the Old Testament as well as in the New. To this end, he begins by explaining the character of the Old Testament, which Paul termed the Holy Writings. Although the Holy Spirit used men to write the Old Testament scriptures, the words were and are those of God Himself. Now to introduce this message, One Bible, One Gospel, here is Dr. Cairns.
The book of Romans, chapter 1. And so put your finger in there, but we will go back and read a few of the verses we read last Sabbath evening from Acts chapter 13. This is a chapter where there's a great sermon by the Apostle Paul. And that sermon is based on the Old Testament history of God's dealings with the children of Israel, from which, having got as far as David, Paul draws the great lesson that from his seed after the flesh, God, according to his promise, raised up a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, having dealt with all that, we come down to verse 32, where Paul says, in the light of all this, we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, As it is also written in the second Psalm, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, Thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was led unto his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. We finish in verse 39. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word for his own name's sake. Last Sabbath evening we got, as I said a moment or two ago, to the second verse of Romans chapter 1. We will read the first three verses just to see the second verse in its full setting. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. I've been at pains over these first few messages to point out that this is an epistle in which the apostle sets before us very powerfully a great statement of theme that is found in verse 16 and 17 of the first chapter. Later on, as he works that out, we will see how he distributes all the material that he's going to employ in teaching the truth of this great thematic statement. He distributes all the material under two main headings. I've mentioned them. We will come back to them in detail in 1, 2, or 10 weeks' time, as the Lord may lead, when we get that far. At the moment, we are looking at the greeting, which is the longest of all Paul's greetings in any of his epistles. That will lead to an introductory passage, but they are all leading up to the great statement of theme. The thematic statement is, in reality, God hath revealed to us a glorious and a powerful gospel message. It is the message of justification for sinners by faith alone, without works. And it comes to us on the merit of Christ and by the imputation to us of his perfect righteousness. This is what Paul is dealing with throughout this epistle. And the more I look at the epistle, the more I am convinced that down to the smallest detail, Paul is working by inspiration every strand of truth back into that fundamental, central statement of theme. I pointed out that in verse 1, for example, he says, this is the gospel of God. This is the gospel. It's not just an aspect of the gospel. It's not just some peripheral matter to do with the gospel. It is not some deduction drawn from the gospel. This is the very meat and marrow of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as he deals with that in verse 1, Paul says this is the apostolic gospel. Now in verse 2, he is making the statement, this is the gospel of the entire Bible. And the great theme before us in verse 2, as I announced it last Lord's Day, is very simple. It is one Bible, one gospel, one Bible, one gospel. The whole of inspired Scripture, this is the apostles' contention, and this is my contention. This will be the labor to establish this tonight and indeed throughout our studies in Romans. That the whole of inspired Scripture centers on the gospel of God, what Paul calls the gospel of Christ, as God's sole way of saving sinners at any point in time in the history of his dealings with men. Now, last week we made a lot of progress. We got point one cleared away, where we dealt with the character of the Old Testament according to this second verse of Romans 1. It is the Holy Scriptures. That's the Old Testament he's talking about there. It's the Holy Scriptures. And the Holy Scriptures are described as the advanced promise of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Last week I took the time, whether I had it or not, I took it, because I think it's very important that God's people get out of the trap that has been so foolishly set before them by preachers who know no better, of isolating the Old Testament from the centrality of the gospel of Christ, making the Old Testament Jewish history, failing to see its integral union with the gospel of the New Testament. And I was showing last week how in various ways the Old Testament is full of advanced promises of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. The covenants give advanced promises of the gospel. The prophecies of the Old Testament give advanced promises of the gospel. We looked at some of those prophecies. The types of the Old Testament give advanced promises of the gospel. And even the historical events of the Old Testament give advanced promises of the gospel. So that we can only come to the conclusion of a famous Lutheran commentator, R.C. Hlinsky, when he said it is beyond question that in their writings the prophets stated the full contents of the gospel in advance. The Old Testament saints were saved by faith in those very contents, as indeed we also are saved. Now, having dealt with the character of the Old Testament, I want us to consider something that's very vital to the whole scheme of biblical revelation, and that is the connection of the Old Testament with the New. You will see that in our English Bible, verse 2 of Romans 1 appears in parentheses. And I really have no quarrel with that. There's very good reason why the translators put these words in parentheses. I think that their main reason is to ensure that we make the connection that Paul intended us to make directly between the end of verse 1 and the beginning of verse 3. The gospel of God concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. The gospel of God is the gospel concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. That's a very important connection to make, so the parentheses are well conceived. However, having said that, it is possible for us to obscure another truth just by noting the parentheses, and that is that while it is true that Paul wants us to conjoin the end of verse 1 with the beginning of verse 3, I think that equally he wants us to see another truth, that the promises of the Old Testament, verse 2, are promises concerning God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's vital to an understanding of all the promises of the Old Testament, and we're going to be coming back to that. Something else I think you almost unconsciously imagine, something put in parentheses that, it's really of lesser importance than what goes before and what comes after. And that would be a grave mistake to make here. Because what Paul is dealing with here is not a matter of minor importance. So important is the fact that the New Testament gospel is the theme of the entire Old Testament. So important is that fact in this book of Romans that Paul makes it into a very major theme. And to establish the truth that his glorious, his powerful message for the world is the very same message that God had been promising throughout the Old Testament. To establish that fact, Paul argues the case in no less than 10 separate places throughout this epistle to the Romans. Now, it would be a major study in itself for me to go through all 10 of those places. You'll understand. But I don't want you simply to take my word on it. We have read verse 1 and verse 2. So immediately he is getting into it. Go down to verse 17. And he's talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, where? Habakkuk chapter 2. It is written, the just shall live by faith. Chapter 3, verse 21. In what is in many ways the focal point of Paul's argument in this first part of the epistle. We'll see when we get to this 21st verse. But now, those are the words that should always alert you in the writings of Paul. When Paul is mounting an argument and he's going along, and then he says, but now, always be aware, you are at a very critical point in the argument. And so we are here. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. So once again, Paul is saying the gospel I'm preaching is the gospel that the law and the prophets were preaching. Chapter 4, verse 3. Talking about Abraham as the example of a man justified by grace through faith alone in Christ. For what saith the Scripture? Notice the argument. My gospel is the gospel by which Abraham was saved. What saith the Old Testament Scripture? It's the same argument. Later on in chapter 4, from verse 6 through to verse 25, to the end of the chapter, he goes on dealing with David. And then he comes back to Abraham. And throughout that long passage, it's the argument from these Old Testament illustrations that this gospel that I'm preaching, that the Jews so despise and they hate and they're objecting to, and Jews were saying then what apostates are saying today, this is a Pauline imposition upon the simple gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul is saying, it is not my invention, it is not my imposition, it is not a departure, it is the very gospel that God has been preaching throughout the Old Testament. Just look at Abraham. the father of the nation. Just look at David, the greatest king of Israel. Just look at these two mighty mountains of Old Testament testimony and history, and see in them the gospel that I'm preaching unto you.
Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, founded by Dr. Alan Cairns. Let the Bible Speak is also heard in many parts of the world through the international radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak, produced in Northern Ireland. The Free Presbyterian Church stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible, emphasizing preaching that centers on the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the Church. For further information about the Free Presbyterian Church, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. Or you may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Also, we encourage you to visit the website of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America at www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelsch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.